This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 246 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, August 31st. Holy smokes, where's the summer gone? 2016, I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. Marcus,
yes,
man,
sir.
We're almost at the end of summer. Can you believe it?
Yeah, and I also can't believe that we're almost to 250 in our episode count.
Yeah, we just this train just keeps on rolling, man.
Yeah.
Let's so we got a great guest lined up for this evening, and we're going to get into some pretty cool WordPress topics. And by the end of the show, everybody's going to know what's happening over there at GoDaddy. To give you a hint as to who our guest may be. But first and foremost, Marcus, you put out the call near the end of last episode.
Yep.
It was more like a demand than a request, but it worked.
Shakedown. Yes, we got some iTunes reviews, and I'd like to share them with you. The first one is from Dimension M, which we assume is Dimension Media, and the title is A Show with Heart. Agree or disagree with Jeff and or Marcus on a topic? Fine. But you can't deny the show is an institution in the WordPress community. It's been around forever, and like a beacon in the dark, stormy night, you can count on WordPress Weekly to be there. Many podcasts are working their way into the thread of the WordPress community, but WordPress Weekly is already there. It's a show with heart. 5 stars.
Oh, man, that gives me all the feels. Thanks a lot, David.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The next one is from Vicky Tiki Tavi.
That's a cool name.
It's titled Very Useful and Entertaining. It is also a 5-star review. And here is the review. Lots of great info on plugins. Also, love how they give WordPress news. I like the order that Vicky's got it in there.
Oh, yeah.
Great way to stay up to date on what's going on in the community.
Oh,
thank you, Vicky.
Well, your audio just went into robot mode.
Did I?
Yep. Yep, you just gone into robot mode, so you're going to have to disconnect, reconnect, I don't know, figure it out. Yeah, it sounds terrible.
Okay, okay.
It sounds like you're talking into a fan.
Weird.
Yeah, just okay. All of a sudden it happened. So I'm going to let Marcus do that, and I appreciate Vicky and David for your reviews, and of course, we always appreciate seeing those when they come in, so look us up on iTunes. You just type in WordPress Weekly, or WordPress Podcast, or somewhere within the top 3, I believe. At least we should be. And just look it up. Give us 1-star, 5-star, however you feel about the show, and let us know what you think. And even send us some ideas or some topics you'd like us to talk about. That's one way to do that. All right, Marcus, you back?
I am back, yes.
Okie dokie, and you sound good.
Thank you.
And boy, I wonder what causes that robot noise.
I don't know. I just upgraded my internet, and I tested it right before the show, and I'm getting 178 down and like 30 up, so it's a mystery.
I wonder if it's a software or hardware issue. Anyways, let's see here. Now, before we get on to our guest this evening, you were mentioning that you had a conversation with somebody that involved our show was still making waves when we talked about the struggle was real. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, just like reality television. They love it when people just break down and freak out.
Yeah, I mean, I just have to watch.
Yeah. A lot of people are still talking about The Struggle is Real, the episode that we did a couple weeks back. And the struggle still goes on, but I'm glad that I got it out there and glad that there's a lot of people in the community that feel the same way. It seems to have resonated, and I think it also is a testament to how long it takes people to actually listen to the show, because some people just heard it. But I'm very appreciative of all the comments and am thankful that we had Corey Miller on to actually drive that whole point home. So Corey deserves a ton of the credit for that show.
Awesome, man. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that people are resonating with that show still,
right,
on about 2 or 3 week delay.
Yeah.
But that's cool. So, why don't you read the bio of our special guest this evening.
Oh, I'm happy to. As soon as this window closes, here we go. Gabriel Mays has been using WordPress as a platform since 2009. Previously, he was a captain in the Marine Corps. A combat veteran, he spent 2 years between Iraq and Afghanistan operating on small embedded teams. Gabe left the Marine Corps to found two different startups, but both were built with WordPress. He now leads the WordPress products and strategy at GoDaddy.com to help small to medium businesses to build business as great as their ambitions. Thanks for coming on to the show, Gabe.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, so I want to get this out of the way first thing, because it's my show, and I may never have this opportunity again. I was so stoked to find this out, but you're in the military, but you're also married to someone who's in the military who happens to be number 8, the events coordinator for the United States Navy Blue Angels. And if there's a demonstration team that I love watching, it's the Blue Angels. And when I found that out, I was giddy with excitement. I think it was like 3 a.m. and I'm messaging you on Facebook going, no way, dude. I mean, what's that like?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty awesome being married to my wife, just as it is. But yeah, it's been fun. We met in training, and about 2 years ago, she was selected for the team as number 8. And I mean, she's loving it. She's having an amazing time, and I get to go to the shows. And yeah, I mean, she loves what she does, and it's great to be part of it, you know.
Yeah, I just ever since I was a small child, I've grown up going watching and loving the Blue Angels, and in fact. Just the way the world turns, this weekend is the Cleveland National Air Show, and I will be there with my box seats. It's as close as I can get without, you know, being in the military, so I can get actually, you know, be on the flight line, you know, above my seat. But I'll be actually watch them as close as you can get, and take off, do their performance, and it's just an unbelievable experience. If anyone's never seen the Blue Angels perform live, you oughta, because it's awesome.
Yeah, it should be a great show.
So. Okay, well, let's get into some WordPress stuff. We talked about how you got started and worked with small embedded teams, but tell us about the beginnings. How did you first get involved with WordPress? How did you discover it?
Yeah, so I've always been into technology. When I was a kid, I loved building websites. As I got older, I kind of got away from it. After college, I joined the Marine Corps, as you said. Then during grad school, I was into personal finance, and I loved investing, and I wanted to help other people manage their finances better, so I started building a website to help share that out. I started with HTML again, like I'd used when I was a kid. Then I started getting CMSs. I found Drupal first. It was better than HTML, but it was kind of cumbersome. I tried WordPress next, and I just fell in love with it. Started to do more with it, get more advanced, started building sites for friends and family. And then after a while, I kind of noticed I was doing the same things over and over and looked for ways to automate it. So that's kind of where the idea for my first startup, Just Had Content, came from. So when I was in Afghanistan, if you know anybody who's deployed, you have a lot of downtime. So I started teaching myself how to code, and that's kind of where the first startup came from. And then from there, that's when I really started to get into kind of using WordPress as a platform to kind of automate some of these site creation processes.
So you launched your first startup while deployed in Afghanistan?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Well, what was the logistics like with that?
Well, I forget what I used. I think it was called QuickPHP or something. I didn't have an internet connection, so I just ran it locally on my machine. But a lot of it was just fumbling around, just learning how to use it, pulling things apart, things like that. And I didn't really know what product development was, but I fell in love with the process of making things that helped other people do what they wanted to do, small businesses in this case. So on that deployment, I kind of decided that when I got back, I wanted to leave the Marine Corps to start doing this full time. Then eventually found a way to GoDaddy.
Found your way to GoDaddy, huh?
No. Yeah.
At what point did you find your way to GoDaddy?
So it's kind of an interesting story. You know, With startups, you kind of have to figure out what does the startup do? Like, how does this whole thing work, you know? So I went to a lot of startup events, like Combinator and things like that. Then I eventually met a guy at Google Ventures, one of the partners there, and he introduced me to another venture capitalist who then introduced me to Jeff King, who's our GM at GoDaddy now. Okay. And they were interested in what I was doing. They asked for a demo. I did a demo. The funny thing is, at that time, I had the typical feeling about GoDaddy that most WordPress people do, you know?
but at the time?
Yeah, well, because I knew what GoDaddy was, right? But around that time, they had changed, and I didn't know that. But through, you know, talking to Jeff and looking at what they're doing and hearing about what they're doing, it changed my mind about things. But, you know, we went our separate ways. Then about a year later, they were looking for somebody to kind of run WordPress at GoDaddy. And that was around the time my wife was selected for the Blue Angels, and she was going to be on the road 300 days a year doing what she loves. And I figured, you know, this is my chance to kind of do something different. So I jumped for it. You know, I went for it, and here I am.
Yeah, so, you know, looking at GoDaddy's company's history and what they've done recently, I think it's kind of safe to say when you look at the longevity of a company or its timeline, there'll be the Bob Parsons era, and I think there'll be the Jeff King era. And I think in a lot of the different metrics, I think you'll be able to see an upswing from one to the other. And I think what Jeff King's been doing over there at GoDaddy has been working, and it's definitely from the top down in the PR and the perspective and the perceptions that people have of GoDaddy are changing for the better. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah, I mean, GoDaddy is a great company. You know, it went through different periods. The thing about Jeff is, like, you know, aside from Matt Mullenweg, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find an executive who knows more about WordPress than anywhere. And the problem with GoDaddy before is that it didn't really get WordPress or the community, but I think now it does, which is why you're starting to see these changes. And, you know, changing a company this big takes time, but, I mean, we're really proud of the products we've made so far.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm most impressed with in terms of GoDaddy in general is the fact that I can be working on some site at 3 in the morning and run into an issue and in 5 minutes be on the phone with somebody who's going to work me through it. And that's something that is invaluable to me, being able to just have that person on the other end that can figure out the process. So that's one of the biggest selling points. And also, I think once Jeff King took over the helm, it was not only within the product sphere of WordPress that things changed, but even just subtle things like site navigation changed dramatically for the better. And that's, you know, I think a lot of people have seen that. And, you know, it's interesting because Jeff and I, when we started doing this show, it was kind of right before that transition. And I think, Jeff, has your view on GoDaddy changed since then? Because I think you were a little bitter when we first started doing the show together about, you know, just the persona. But I think since the WordPress managed product has come out and a couple of other advances, I think the whole community is sort of shifting.
If it was me being bitter or expressing bitterness, it's not me personally of GoDaddy, although I experienced all the upselling when it came time to just renew my domain. I had to go through 100 steps just to do something that should be a simple process. But at the time, I had my ear to the ground and listening to a lot of people, a lot of consultants who manage clients in the WordPress community, and almost all of them had some sort of story of hell of dealing with GoDaddy. But in recent years, you know, there's some people out there who still may have a bad experience or two, but they seem to have changed things around, and it's definitely not as bad as it used to be. I'm not hearing as many horror stories as I used to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, things get more difficult with scale. If you have,
of course,
you know, 10 times as many customers.
And you can't just change reputation overnight.
Right. Yeah, like it's, you know, looking at our support teams today, even hosting support, they take a quarter million support calls a month. And satisfaction is over 90% positive, you know. So while there are maybe some negative experiences here and there, by and large, it's improved significantly. And in the next couple of months, you'll see some big announcements from us to improve it even more.
So one of the big products that I think is about a year, year and a half old is your GoDaddy, I think it's a WordPress Pro or GoDaddy Pro that involves with managed WordPress hosting. What's new on that front?
So, GoDaddy Pro is a product for our customers that serve clients, you know, freelancers, agencies, things like that. I can't talk about it yet. We have a very big announcement coming up pretty soon for them. So stay tuned for that. It's really exciting.
Yeah, so, I mean, has the reception to the people who have participated in the GoDaddy Pro who are using it has been a great reception to it? Have you gotten great feedback?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about Pro is it's not just WordPress, it's across the company. Because if a freelancer is serving a business doesn't just need hosting. You know, they need a domain, email, and other services like that. So the Pro program kind of helps them give their clients an amazing experience with all the products they need.
Yeah, and the nice benefit about that is that, Jeff, for serving clients, the way it was done a couple years ago is that you had to ask for their password and their credentials to get into their GoDaddy account, and now it's just not that way. Now you can deem yourself as an administrator yet still maintain the integrity of the ownership to the client.
Yeah, so the whole management process has been simplified, which is probably make a lot of consultants out there very happy.
Yeah, because you can even throw things in their cart in terms of products that they need, and then they pay for it after that. You don't have to upfront the money.
And the beneficial thing to doing it that way is then they also own the license and it's in their name, so they can get support for that product, and you don't have to transfer any of that stuff over, which can be a real pain.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's exactly the thing. I mean, like, you know, these pros, I mean, they should be focused on doing their best work, not kind of struggling with the minutia of just managing clients, you know, and that's what we're trying to do with Pro.
So one of the cool things that I played a part in, and I will always say I played a part in because I was there. I brought this up. I remember the day, the time, the restaurant, the place, the conversation, the people at the table. But it's this Hot 100 list. So it's the most popular plugins and themes for WordPress that I think that are being used across GoDaddy's network. Is there any major updates to that? And now that it's been out for a little while, how is the company using that data?
That's a good question. So that Hot 100, that was kind of so over the last few years, we've been investing heavily in our data platform. So how can we use data to improve the customer experience? That Hot 100 was the first publicly visible way that we're kind of using that data. But since then, we've been using it to see how can we actually improve the onboarding experience, like what we'll talk about shortly. We use data for that. In the future, we'll be able to use it to help give customers what they need. Like if they're a dentist or whatever, we can recommend certain things to them based on that, whether it's a plugin or a theme or images and things like that.
So you actually profile the industry that someone's in when they do their site?
Well, if you look at the, I showed you guys the onboarding tool. They tell us what their industry they're in, you know. So they're, they tell us they're a dentist or whatever, and through data and stuff, we know what makes dentists successful. You know, maybe it's an appointment form, maybe it's this, things like that.
Interesting. Well, let's dive into that. So,
He mentioned it. So yeah, might as well talk about it.
Last night, you shared a video with Jeff and I that is backburnered in terms of what
for
we can talk about.
Our eyes only.
That's right. So we have seen this product, and it was an overview of a new onboarding experience, and not just onboarding, but an actual usage experience. So would you like to talk about it in terms of the intro, as to how you frame the product, and then Jeff and I can share what we've seen in the video?
Yeah, sure. So about a year ago, we launched a new onboarding experience with WordPress, just trying to help small businesses kind of navigate the complexity of WordPress and be more successful with it. And this is our third improvement of it. This is probably the biggest improvement to date. But essentially what it does is instead of just dropping customers in the WordPress admin, we'll ask them a few questions, give us your contact details, your social media info, tell us what industry you're in, pick an image that represents your business, pick what theme you like, and then we can identify what language the customer is using. And then we'll dynamically combine all that and give it to the customer in a package so they get exactly what they wanted in their own language so they can start building the website for the business.
That is very cool. And it's longtime listeners of this show will know that me and Marcus and I have talked about the onboarding experience with people like Chris Lemma, Matt Mulliweg, and stressing on how important the onboarding process is to bring people from the edge onto WordPress and how important of a role that the web host industry plays in that. And I from looking at the video, it's a very smooth and cool process, much different than, let's say, uploading WordPress or going through cPanel and just, like you said, being dropped right into the admin. With this, you actually, you're about two or three steps ahead of the game when it comes time to finally accessing your site.
Yeah, for us, it's being GoDaddy, we have a different typical customer than some of the higher-end hosts. You know, so a lot of our customers, they're using WordPress for the first time. You know, so we really want to focus on delivering an amazing first use experience. You know, so that's what this kind of came from.
Yeah, that's the one drag that a lot of people have is out of the gate. They get a glimpse of the dashboard and the stuff that's on the sidebar of the dashboard, and they're just overwhelmed. You've got settings, tools, appearance. It's like those all kind of sound like the exact same thing. And this is a much easier and gentler approach, because even as you pick your theme, I noticed that, and you did as well, Jeff, that the theme drops in exactly how it's supposed to. And it populates with some of that earlier data that's being asked, which is your social channels, your address, your contact information, your industry, and those types of things. And I thought that that was great, because most of the time, as Gabe mentioned, when you have people that are small business owners, people like that, they don't sit and geek out in front of the dashboard all day long like we do. They have work to do, and they just want their site to run, and they don't want to have to hire somebody externally or those types of things, you know, because they're on a shoestring budget. So this prevents that lag time of someone having to A, learn all of WordPress, and B, wait a month until they get their theme and everything else set up before they can start. And most people in that month's time or whatever that setup time is, they just get frustrated and just stop. Just, you know, oh, forget it. I'll just go to my Facebook page or something else. So in terms of being an advocate in the WordPress community, I applaud this, because this is going to bring so many more people into the community as a WordPress user.
Or at least give them an exceptionally better new user experience.
Yes. I mean, better than I've seen anywhere else. The only other thing that I can, dare I say it, I feel like getting some soap to wash my mouth out after I do it, but it's much like the onboarding process at Squarespace in terms of simplicity. I think it's a lot like that. Gabe, do you agree? Is that something you looked at, or...?
We looked at a lot of different onboarding experiences. Yeah. We definitely went for simplicity, because, I mean, you have to put yourself in the shoes of a small business. You know, you're not really comfortable with technology. At your Chamber of Commerce meeting last week, you heard this thing called WordPress, right? You Google it, and you get it. And WordPress is an amazing tool. It's very powerful. But I think as hosts, who we're kind of the port of entry for a lot of new customers learning WordPress, is kind of our responsibility to make it more accessible to these customers to help make them successful, you know?
Yeah, one of the things I noticed immediately in the onboarding experience video you showed us was that when a user, and Marcus mentioned this, when a user had the chance to pick their theme, they have an opportunity to see a live demo of that theme, and then they could choose whether to install and activate that theme. And when in the demo video, when they installed and activated the theme, it looked exactly like it did in the demo, in the preview. Now, that's impressive, because one of the largest Achilles heels in WordPress today is installing a theme, or, you know, going window shopping for a theme and saying, wow, that looks something really interesting that fits an idea I have in my head. You download it, you install it. It looks nothing like the demo. You have to install either a demo.xml file, or you have to go through these instructions just to get it to look the way it did on the display in the store. But with this onboarding experience, it looks just like it did in the demo. How are you accomplishing that?
Yeah, it was actually pretty hard. Like when we first built this, we wanted to just put it in a plugin that we can just, you know, open up, but it's actually pretty hard to do. So we have to, when you see the customer going through the process where they actually start customizing their site and stuff, that actually all happens dynamically on a demo server. Then once the customer, you know, gets everything they want in there, their image, their title of their site, their contact info, social media info, the images, like all that kind of stuff, and the language they need, and they say, you know, yes, I want this site, then we dynamically pull it all together and provision it to that customer's site. So that's why you see that kind of loading screen. So it's kind of all done on the fly. That's the only way we can make it happen, but it works pretty well.
Wow, that's interesting. I don't know if that doesn't sound like something that's viable for WordPress core, even though it is an issue that a lot of smart people are looking into to try and figure out how they can make that specific experience better.
Yeah, to make it happen, we worked with the guys from Lyft who did an amazing job with our new themes. We had to build the themes custom, and we had to make everything kind of fit correctly so you could swap between them and it didn't look funky, because, you know, sometimes when you switch a theme, the widget areas have different IDs and it just moves everything around, you know? So it was a lot of work just to get it consistent to actually make that experience. It took quite a while, but our team did a really good job at pulling it all together.
Now, what are your plans, because we're talking about business owners that are using that, are there going to be kind of modular add-ins in the future to where if they say, yeah, I want to make an e-commerce site where it can then pull in merchant processing options and import Stripe and all of those things? Is that something that's in the works?
That's a great question, Marcus. yeah, actually, if you look at the demo video again, you'll see that we went with website and blog. That's like a regular brochure site. There's also options for e-commerce and blog. E-commerce is also an option where it does something like that. We're going to be going back and doing the same thing for the other types of sites that we did for this one. But yeah, in the future, like if you're let's say you're like a nail salon, you'll be able to have more in-depth options like, you know, maybe it's an appointment maker, you know, or if you're an accountant, it'll have, you know, whatever features accountants need. If you're a realtor, it'll have MLS integration, things like that. So we do plan to go deeper in the future. There's just no timeline for that.
Right. Good.
And tell us a little bit about your partnership with Beaver Builder, which is sort of like a site page layout builder in the WordPress community.
Yeah, so at first we wanted to use the customizer just to keep it very WordPress native, but things like transactions and stuff weren't in core yet. So in the meantime, we wanted to know how can we improve the site editing experience for new users. And Beaver Builder is a great tool that does that. You know, I think their primary target is like advanced users right now. But in terms of the site editing experience, it also works really well for small businesses. So we decided to team up with them. And through a partnership with Beaver Builder, we're able to include some of their premium modules along with some of the layouts that we provide in the actual sites that the customers get, so they get some premium functionality in there.
Now, I have not used Beaver Builder myself, but when we talk about the site editing experience, are users able to click on a specific section of their site and edit it right then and there?
Yep. Yeah, you can click on an image. You can edit it real time so you can see what changes are happening. You can drag and drop elements, all that.
And the reason why I mention that is because I recently came across a plugin. It's sort of in an experimental state right now, but it adds these persistent icons when you're in the customizer preview mode, and the icons appear on specific parts of the page, and if you click on the icon, the controls in the customizer specific to that area are loaded, so that you can click on these different areas and the part that you need to edit that section in the customizer loads automatically. And I think that's really an intuitive way of where at some point in the future the WordPress customizer is going to go to allow people to make editing the sites in real time simpler, because it will kind of give people a heads up as to what they're editing.
Is that the plugin that Automatic made?
Yes, it's called Direct Something Manipulation. It's sort of an experiment right now.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I checked it out. That's awesome. Like, I can't wait till that stuff's in the customizer. You know, like people say, that's the future of WordPress, you know?
Matt says the customizer is everything.
Yeah.
If you can believe that.
Yeah, remember when people freaked out over menus in the customizer?
Oh, boy. It ain't too bad now, though.
No, it's a lot nicer.
So let's see. Some of the other highlights here. You mentioned that you're going to be submitting some themes to the WordPress theme directory. Is that true?
Yeah. If you saw in the onboarding video, we have 10 new themes, one parent, 9 children, along with the social media contact widget and some other things. We're submitting all of those to the WordPress repository so other folks can use them.
Nice. Nice contribution from GoDaddy.
And here's one thing that that we haven't discussed yet, and let's get past onboarding just a little bit, which I was very impressed with the fact that within this new system, you've got, I forget the number that you said, it was like 25,000 or something, images in a royalty-free catalog that you can just pull up and use as a featured image. And that to me was pretty amazing because as somebody who does a lot of posting, the featured image editing process is a pain, and you don't want to go searching Google images because you're probably going to find something that's got copyright restriction or something like that. So can you describe sort of the process behind this ingenuity and what it might be in the future?
Sure. Well, first to address your point, yes, finding high-quality images is very hard. If you ever work with a small business, you say, hey, send me some images for your business. You get these low-quality images that you just can't use on a website. So we want to help small businesses with that, but also the pros that, with their client size, just to kind of solve that pain point. So our website builder team, which we deal with Getty Images for thousands of royalty-free images that our customers can use. So we've included that in the onboarding process. So when you saw the customers setting up their site, they select an industry. Then based on the industry they select, they get 5 to 20 images relevant to that industry that they can actually use for their hero image on the front of their site. And then once you finish the site editing process, when you're in the media library, there's a new tab that says stock photos, and that pulls up that searchable library with thousands of images that that you can use for your site.
That's pretty huge. Jeff, I don't know how much time you spend monkeying around trying to find images, but it takes time.
Well, there's one specific site. I go to PhotoPin, and that's a great website I use to search for royalty-free images I could use in featured images. But if I can't find it there, I pretty much kind of give up. Even though, because there's all these other sites that do like one free image a day, or there's not really an easy way to find Creative Commons Zero, which is like pretty much almost like the GPL, but for images on Flickr. It's hard to find those images as well. So having it all there, right there, so you don't have to worry about copyrights or anything. Again, it's all about simplicity and convenience.
Yeah, right there in your media library. Just hit another tab.
Yeah, if only we could organize those by, titles, tags, categories.
Oh, don't get me started.
I figured I'd...
Well, yeah, Gabe, let me run this by you. You might implement this.
Yeah.
I have been complaining about the media library because it doesn't allow us to put groups or tags or any of those things. And there's a plugin that's come out lately that's about attachment taxonomies, and that sort of does it, but... I don't know. I mean, that's a huge thing. If you can ever pull that off, down and throw it into a meeting somewhere, and I'd appreciate that.
We're hiring our first core contributors, so maybe we can get that on their to do things.
Hold on. I want you to say that, what you just said, a little more slowly in case people didn't hear that right. What did you just say?
We're hiring our first core contributors. So yeah, it should be pretty exciting. We can't announce who they are yet, but we're very excited. They have a long history, very experienced core contributors, so that'll be really exciting.
Man, that's awesome. That's great news. That's killer.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So GoDaddy will be paying them full time to work on WordPress?
Yep, absolutely.
Holy smokes! Wow. Man, that's a pretty cool contribution back to the project, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Oh, another thing we're doing is we're picking a few of the most popular plugins, and we're donating full translations to them. So like Beaver Builders 1, Ninja Forms, WooCommerce, and some others, we're translating them into a bunch of languages fully. And our goal is that by contributing these contributions to these translations and get them to 100%, it'll be a lot easier to keep them at 100%, because if you're sitting there staring at a translation that's only 2% done, it's kind of intimidating, but, getting it from 98 to 100 is a lot easier. So that's another thing we'll be doing.
Awesome. So I don't know how involved you are with the customer support teams at GoDaddy, but maybe you've heard or you have experienced, what are some of the pain points that quite a few customers have pointed out that they're having either with I guess GoDaddy's version of WordPress, or just WordPress itself, something that maybe the core contributors you're hiring may be able to accomplish or work on?
Yeah, so we have millions of WordPress sites. The bulk majority of those are on non-managed hosting, you know, like cPanel and stuff. So we're definitely looking at a way to not just upgrade to, you know, PHP 5.6 or PHP 7, but how do we solve this problem, you know, long term, to help get these customers upgraded so they don't have to think about it, you know, because you tell them PHP or your WordPress version is out of date, they don't really know what that means, you know. So how do we do it at scale for millions of sites without breaking them? That's something that we've kind of been wrestling with, and that's something that our core contributors will help us tackle, just to kind of have that kind of consistency going forward.
No, Marcus, I can see it now. Hey, dude, your PHP version's out of date. What the hell's a PHP?
Yeah, this is not what I paid for. I paid for modern things.
Yeah, so I can hear now. Did you? So, Gabe, I don't know if you saw this. I think it was at the last State of the Word, but Matt Mulloway showed some information, some details. I think it was Bluehost, where they actually wrote a script that went out and updated all of the WordPress installs that they had in their network up to the latest version at the time. And I guess the script even detected ones that had errors or whatever, rolled them back. But they didn't really encounter that much in the way of breakage. Is that something maybe the team was working on? Maybe just write a script and upgrade them all?
Yeah, actually at WordCamp US at the Community Summit, we talked to them about that, and they did a really great job. It's I think it was a WPCLI command. I forget what it was, but we looked at it, and our situation is a little different. It's actually pretty complex, so we have to tackle it in a different way. But yeah, I mean, ideally in the future, there would be a core set of tools that all hosts can use and contribute to, because you know, after PHP 7, there will be a PHP 8, you know, and it's, so this isn't just a short-term problem. We want to solve it for the long term.
And Marcus, I don't know if you're, or if our listeners picked up on this, but what Gabe just said is we recognize and realize that we have all these WordPress sites that are hosted on our systems that are non-managed, that are managed by our customers, and you know, realizing that there's probably a large number of sites that are out of date, maybe by multiple versions, and I think it's our listeners should be reassured by Gabe's words at a company like GoDaddy that they're working on trying to solve this problem and get those sites upgraded to something a lot more manageable, at least past 3.7, so that auto updates can be applied. So I think that's positive news.
Yeah, but I also think anybody listening that's got an out-of-date WordPress site should turn off the podcast right now and go take care of your business.
Wow. Well, there you go. Strong words from Marcus. Yes. Listen to him. But anyway, it's pretty encouraging news. So one of the things we talked about in our interview with Matt Mulloway back on episode 240 was this thing called the WordPress recommended hosting page. And it recently went through a revamp. And Flywheel is on there for the first time, and Bluehost is on there, as well as a couple others. I think SiteGround and DreamHost, I think, are the four people who are on that page. And I specifically asked Matt, I says, well, why isn't GoDaddy on this page? And he specifically said, well, they still have a lot of work to do. And I just kind of wanted to give you an opportunity to, I don't know if you've been in talks with Matt or what you know about that situation of being on the recommended hosting page. But what do you think he meant by the company still has a lot of work to do?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. I mean, I like the progress that page has made over the last year. I think they're trying to encourage the right things. If you look at the criteria, you know, trying to encourage hosts to, you know, keep their versions of WordPress updated and support customers the way they should be supported. But our perspective is, I mean, it's, you know, Matt was pretty clear that the criteria are arbitrary, and it's his decision who goes on that page. And, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we're just going to try to keep focusing on making great products for our customers. That's what we're focused on. Hopefully it'll align with what he's looking for, but we're focused on our customers.
Well, I mean, that's the only thing you could really control, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, I think in general it's good. I mean, as a WordPress ecosystem, I mean, we need to get better at these things in general. GoDaddy, we have a lot to work on. We've made a lot of progress, but we have a long ways to go as a community. So, I mean, I think it's the right direction. We're encouraging the right things, you know?
So, speaking of, I wanted to go back to plugins and this data you have, because one of the things you GoDaddy started up is this thing called a WordPress plugin partner program. And some of these on the Hot 100, some of these plugins have like a special star, like a signal that they're part of this program. What is this program, and what are the benefits of it, and how can people get involved?
Yeah, so our plugin partner program was launched last year. It was our first attempt at trying to engage the people who really drive the community, because you know nobody uses vanilla WordPress. It's all you know themes and plugins that make this ecosystem as amazing as it is. You know, so we wanted to work more closely with them to make sure that we're delivering a great experience for our mutual customers. So we launched it last December. The goal was that you know we do kind of mutual marketing and partnerships. If they have any issues, we'll try to address them quickly, making sure their plugins run well on our platform. If there's any things that we're missing or there's any problems with our platform, we'll address them quickly. Since then, we closed signups about a few months ago. We're going to be revamping it, which is another announcement we'll probably have in the next few months. But expect an improved version of our partner program in the near future.
And by the way, everybody, if you're wondering what the top plugins are this week, number one, Ninja Forms, and then Contact Form 7. Number two, number three is Limit Login Attempts. And then over on the top themes of the week, number one, oh, big surprise, 2016. and then there's Divi, which is a very popular theme. And then number three is Hemingway. And then number four is Argent. And then the list goes on from there. But, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, at least to me, why 2016 would be the most popular, because you guys probably have so many new WordPress sites going live all the time, and maybe they either haven't switched their theme or maybe they like 2016. I don't know, but that's probably one of the reasons for why it's number one.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I just found a new show to do, Jeff. Just like American Top 40, counting down the hits. On radio, I think I can do the top 40 plugins every week.
I would checking like to in, hear you make this entertaining.
In at number four, it's Ninja Forms. No? Okay.
Well, I don't know. It's possible. You know, you'd have to have cool sound effects, so.
That's true. I already have a plugins podcast anyway, so.
One of the last things about plugins, what sort of trends or things have you noticed regarding the plugin ecosystem in GoDaddy?
What do you mean by that?
Have you seen anything, any patterns or any trends in terms of types of plugins that are being used?
Yeah, what's hot?
Well, it's on the Hot 100.
Obviously, Forms plugins is a big thing. SEO, two-factor authentication, Jetpack, of course.
Yeah, you see a lot of the same ones over and over. It's actually pretty surprising how consistent the top plugins are across sites. We've looked for certain trends to identify certain sites that kind of grow more quickly than others using certain plugins. And there's just not a very clear sign. It just kind of tells you that you can be successful with just about anything, you know?
And speaking of Jetpack, I don't know if it has in the past or if you're doing this now, but do new websites launched on GoDaddy install Jetpack automatically? Is that one of the bundled plugins?
No, it's not.
Okay. All right, just making sure. On some host it is, and that's all because of a relationship that's been established. But that's business.
Yeah, it's just one more delete button I got to hit.
You know. So, I don't know. Is there any other major cool things happening at GoDaddy that you want us and our listeners to know about? Because I'm out of questions.
Well, the new onboarding experience we talked about, it'll be launching September 15th. Very excited about that. And then in the very new future, I'd say keep an eye out. We have a few very big announcements coming soon.
One in particular that we talked about is for GoDaddy Pro.
Exactly.
All right, so unless you have anything further, Marcus, for Gabe, we should let him go and enjoy the rest of his evening.
Absolutely. And I really am, you know, internally sort of proud of GoDaddy and the direction that they're taking and the contributions to WordPress that they've already done and the ones in the future, obviously contributing to Core and some of the language translations is huge. That's huge for the entire community. So, Gabe, I want to thank you for coming on the show and thank the whole crew over there at GoDaddy for everything that you guys are doing.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We have a great team, and thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for spending some of your time on the show, giving us an update on what's happening at the company. And for our listeners out there, how can they keep in touch with you and what is happening over there at GoDaddy?
Yeah, I'd say watch the garage for updates on GoDaddy. I'm not too big on social media, but my Twitter handle is at Gabe Mays, GabeMays. If you have any questions, any comments, any feedback, let me know.
And are you planning on attending any WordPress events this year, maybe WordCamp US again?
Yeah, I'm planning on being at WordCamp Phoenix and WordCamp US.
Well, I mean, Phoenix. I mean, are you working in the Tempe office?
Yep.
Ah, well, that makes sense. Beautiful office, by the way. I visited there when I was in – I visited Phoenix for Pressnomics, and man, it's just pretty cool. You can pedal a go-kart around the office.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Anyways, thanks a lot, Gabe, for coming on the show, and we'll have to get you back on soon to talk about all the cool new stuff happening over there.
Great. Thanks, guys. It's been fun.
No problem. Enjoy the rest of your evening. And Marcus, that wraps up the interview with Gabe.
Sir.
And, hey, we've got some insight now into what's going on at GoDaddy. It smells like they got something good cooking.
Yeah, for at least for a week or so, we've got the exclusive eyeballs on what it is that actually has occurred over there. But believe me, folks, it's really pretty impressive. I think we've painted a pretty good picture of what's to come over there at GoDaddy, and I think that no matter what your experience level, whether you're novice or more advanced, I think that you're going to find a lot of the improvements that they've made are definitely for the better.
So let's get into some of the news of the week, and the first thing I want to let people know is that WordSesh 4 is now available on video. So WordSesh, that's that 24-hour free conference that's put on sort of like a virtual WordCamp, had all kinds of great sessions. Some of the stats on this, WordSesh 4 had about an average of 100 viewers for every session throughout the 24 hours. 816 people have watched the event so far, and the top 10 countries were the USA, United Kingdom, India, Australia, Canada, Netherlands, Norway, Sweden, Italy, and Spain. So those are the top 10 countries that tuned in to watch WordSesh. And the top city was actually Brisbane. Followed by New York and London. So a lot of people in Australia really like WordSesh for whatever reason.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched about maybe 3 hours of it.
Nice.
And it was interesting because Matt Mullenweg was actually there and in the chat room.
Yeah, so that was a great session. I really enjoyed Triple J's session on forking WordPress. It really enlightened me, and I've had this notion and these thoughts about what forks of software are. But the way he described him and his perspective totally changed my outlook, and that forks shouldn't be discouraged, but are actually one of a number of ways on how people can try out their ideas. You know, you could fork WordPress, and you don't have to worry about backwards compatibility or all the other things that the actual project worries about. You could try your ideas, and if they work out, you know, develop them in such a way that perhaps sometime in the future – they could be merged back into the whole. And just, I thought it was really enlightening, and hopefully the videos get up on YouTube soon because they're a lot more shareable and digestible, or I should say watchable, versus Crowdcast where you actually have to log in, have an account. Mm-hmm. And then the quality of the videos didn't seem to be that good, but maybe they'll improve once they're on YouTube.
Yeah, I noticed that too, but... as far as forking, it's open source. You can do whatever you want with it. And if you want to try your hand at, you know, making some sort of a hybrid or anything like that, then that's completely up to you. And so Triple J is obviously an authority on that. And I'd love to look into that even further, see where that's going.
And one of the cool things I thought of is he says, well, think about all these web hosting companies. It's managed WordPress hosting companies. They're not all running the same WordPress. They probably all have created a small fork of WordPress that's highly specifically tailored for their environment, for their customers. And I didn't even realize that. That makes complete sense. That now we have all these different forks of WordPress, but they're all developed in such a way where you can merge in parts from the whole and stay on the same track, you know?
Well, I even think platforms like, I believe, like Rainmaker.
Yeah, platform. That's pretty much a fork of WordPress.
Yeah, same thing. I think Brian Clark just basically went through WordPress and said, all right, let's just tear out all the pieces that we don't use and put in the ones that are the most expensive components, membership site plugins, e-commerce, dealing with email funnels and sales sequences and things from an email perspective, and building those into that system. And then that's Rainmaker. So it brought the best of what's out there already and then forked into WordPress in terms of content.
And apparently it's working out well for Rainmaker. I mean, last time I checked. Mm-hmm. So we have change logs for plugins. So if you have an update for a plugin, there's an option to where you can view the README, or the change log, which actually pulls from the README file. And you could see things that have changed, you know, if the developers put some information in there. But for the longest time, still to this day, themes don't have support for change logs, which could be problematic if you're using a child theme and you install let's say your parent theme has an update available and it's made a number of changes for the CSS classes or whatnot, it could potentially affect the way your parent theme is displayed. So there's actually a new plugin out there that Sarah Green wrote about. It's called WP Theme Changelogs. And what this does is it adds support for changelogs to WordPress.org hosting themes by parsing the theme's readme.txt file, similar to how plugins do it. So after you install the plugin, theme updates will have a view details link, which is similar to plugin updates, and you'll be able to see the information that the theme author has presented to you. So when it comes back to how are we going to get theme change logs into core, well, it's something that the WordPress theme review team is working on it, but there's some things that have to occur on WordPress.org, so the meta team is working on it. But the meta team has a huge backlog. They're working on all these other different things across the WordPress.org site infrastructure. But there's also the issue of coming up with a like a standard to that effect of, well, what do you put in the changelog? How do you label things? What do you say? You know, how do you communicate? And that's something that we're going to try and work on as well. And that's something that's been in discussion for a few months now, and it's something that will be continued to be discussed. But at least there's a plugin out there that sort of takes advantage of the idea and puts it into action so we can actually see what it's like for themes to have changelogs.
Yeah, because themes don't really change that much.
I mean, they don't change that much, but for someone like me, I just like to know ahead of time what to expect. You know, it's a set of expectations.
Yeah, you definitely want to know, like, what did change so that if there's anything custom or anything that I did in a child theme that may interact with it in a negative sense.
Right.
You know, maybe I want to hold this one off and let you know about it, that it's going to interfere, you know, let you, in terms of the developer, know about it. And perhaps in the next revision or, a patch revision or something, that can be fixed. So it's a good heads up, because if you don't know and something breaks, what's the first thing that you suspect?
Well, you will know when you install that theme what changed.
Right. So that's the thing. When we troubleshoot, what is the first thing we do? We always uninstall the plugins or disconnect all the plugins and see. And then maybe the thing that they updated is related to a plugin, but you think it's the plugin. Mm-hmm. In reality, it's the theme. So I think this is a good thing.
So, Marcus, do you remember when WordPress 4.4 Clifford, the big red dog? No, I'm just kidding. Not named after the big red dog. but this was back in December of 2015 when WordPress 4.4 was released. And one of its features was turning WordPress itself into an OEmbed provider. So this made it easy for sites running on WordPress 4.4 or later to have their content embedded on other sites. So just like you would embed a YouTube video by just using the URL of the video in the visual editor, or just the editor itself, you could do the same thing with the URL to a post, and it would show up in this nice little embed box where you could see the number of comments, a share link, the title of the site. It was actually pretty interesting. But last Friday, I decided to do like a sort of a retrospective, because it's been about 8 months now since the feature has landed in core. And I asked our audience, since the release, have they used the OEmbed feature for post? And out of 201 votes, 131 people said no, while 70 people said yes.
Hmm.
And the comments ranged from, yes, I love them, to, I had no idea this feature existed, but now that I do, I'll use it. So that was cool. And let's see.
I got to start using that on my personal blog, going like quoting stuff from the membership coach site that I do. Like I don't do that, and I should do that because of that OEmbed feature.
Yeah, it's a very easy way to link to a specific post or comment or something on your membership site.
Yeah, and comment even further on the personal site. So thank you for bringing that idea forward, because I would not have, if we didn't talk about it just now, I don't think I would have thought of it.
Now, someone says, I don't use it because I have no design control over it, which is not true. There are actually, I want to say functions or CSS classes where you can manipulate how the design of the iframe, the OEmbed looks. So there is a way how you can configure it. So don't let that be an option that stops you. But me personally, I think it's something I'd probably use more often on my personal site, but on the Tavern, when I'm writing articles, it makes more sense for me to link to something versus using an OEmbed, because the OEmbed, it breaks up the flow of the post with the embed and stuff. So I've pretty much gone to just linking the stuff. But like, for instance, in my In Case You Missed It post, where I just do a roundup of things, mm-hmm. that's a perfect application of where it comes in handy, where I could just link to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just an interesting look back at every now and then I like asking, our audience, what features have they used, since they've been added over a year. And, sometimes it's good to look back and say, we added this. Sometimes we realize maybe we should not have added it, or maybe we should edit it, or maybe this needs more exposure, something to that effect.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I wonder, is there a default that you can use that if you want to plop down an image of people that OEmbed you, like you do with Twitter cards or Facebook?
I don't know. I don't think there is. I just know that the iframe, it pulls in the title of the post, an excerpt, a link to continue reading, the site title, and then the comments and the share button. That's sort of the default presentation.
See, I wish it was more Facebook timeline-ish, I think that would be a lot cooler.
So, like, if I want to OEmbed an article that you wrote, I get a big picture of you in my post?
Well, not necessarily, but just like with plugins that you use for WordPress, you can set a default image. If there's no featured image
mm-hmm.
on a post, then you can set a default image that's used within Facebook, Twitter, whatever, the card, the social card, so to speak.
I'll have to look into that now. See, you're always making – I hate it, Marcus. You're always giving me homework.
That's the way my brain works, man. I look at plugins and functions and stuff, and I just want to add a little more frosting to it.
So I mentioned this briefly in our interview with Gabe about this cool plugin I came across. There are a couple different approaches now that people are working on with the customizer to make site customization easy, because according to Matt Mulliweg, the customization experience is the single most greatest growth opportunity for WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one thing where WordPress can really stands a chance to, there's a lot of potential for WordPress to grow and improve in when it comes to customizing your site.
Yeah. And I'm going to interrupt you there for a second. And I brought it up in the interview with Gabe. Squarespace, go look at what they can do. Just go sign up for a trial account or whatever if you can, and just spend one day screwing around with Squarespace, and then come back to WordPress and go, boy, I wish it did that.
that's something I've been meaning to do, actually, is do sort of a review of Squarespace, Wix, Weebly, and then come back to WordPress. I've actually been meaning to do that, and I want to write a review about each one of those services and my experience with them, and tie it back to what I've used for almost a decade now, WordPress, and see where WordPress can improve on. And it's probably it's actually a really healthy thing for me to do. I should do it. Like, get on it now, right after the show.
You got Matt's credit card. Do it.
it doesn't exactly work out that way. However, if you want to learn more about this plugin and my experience with it and what I thought about how I thought it was an intuitive way of editing your site. I'll have a link to the article in the show notes, which includes an animated GIF that shows you how it works. So it's definitely something you'd want to read and not hear us talk about.
But you summarized it previously very nicely, which is that there is a little icon in each sort of section. And in the customizer, you can hover over the section. Let's just say the header or maybe the menu. And you click on that little edit icon, and then it goes in the customizer into that section where you edit that particular piece.
Right. So it's cool. So if you see a little icon next to a text widget, you just click the icon, and boom, that widget portion shows up in the customizer. You can edit what's there, click save, and you're done. It makes it very easy.
Very.
So we'll see if something like that gets into core at a later date. And that's about all I have for the news of the week. Work is really starting to get underway for WordPress 4.7. And we'll keep you updated on that as it gets closer to the release date in December. Oh, God, December. Gee, I don't even want to think about that month. Other than that, that's the news. And, hell, you might as well get into your plug-in picks of the week.
All right, man. I've got some good ones this week. And this first one I actually used for a client. I built something very interesting this week, which was used with the theme. I'm not endorsing it. I'm just mentioning it. Theme from ThemeForest called Buddy App. And the client wanted something that functioned like an app for their events, for their live events, but didn't have to go through the app process because of the fact that they wanted scheduled posts and scheduled announcements throughout the conference. And all they have to do is set up posts, right, with a publish date. So this was a really great experience, and I got to play around with BuddyPress more than I ever have. And I told Triple J about it, and he was thrilled. And so one function that we wanted to have for this was that the event is going to have a specific hashtag of the event name. And they wanted to have a live Instagram feed within this sort of pseudo app where people could actually see what's going on. So I used this plugin. It's called Instagram Plugin. One of the rare times I've seen the word plugin actually used in the name of the plugin. But it lets you display your whole Instagram feed as a masonry gallery within a page. And it does it beautifully. I mean, responsive. It worked really, really well. So check this out. I got a link in the show notes. Instagram plugin. The next one is something that I tested out on a site, and it actually found a couple of flaws. It's called Security Ninja. And it does about 40 different security tests on your site to get a real clear picture as to how secure your site is and some of the holes that might be exposed. So check that out. It's called Security Ninja. And this next one is something that's pretty cool, and I'm actually using this for a podcast and a replay of some live training events. It's called Auto Igniter. And what it does is it lets you create playlists and embed them in your posts, pages, custom post types, whatever. And it just goes through a playlist automatically, an audio playlist, and plays all of those things on the page. So check that out. It's called Audio Igniter, and those are my plugin picks of the week.
Fantastic. That's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. Let's see, for guests next week, well, we have Mark Benzekine.
Yes.
Slated for next week. He is one of the members of Desktop Server, and we'll talk to him about that product. We'll also talk about their expansion into the WordPress product space with the plugin they recently developed. And I want to really get our audience to listen to his stories of the things he does outside of WordPress, which I think is definitely worth knowing about, because he's like I said on Twitter, Mark has one of the largest hearts of anyone I know in the WordPress community. And I think after next Wednesday night, everyone will understand why I said that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So you can find show notes for this episode and any other episode on WPTavern.com. And you can't follow me on Twitter yet. But maybe after Friday you will be able to, but it's JEFFR0. I got to turn my account back on because I don't want Twitter to delete everything. So I'll do that on Friday. But Marcus, you're tweeting away.
I'm tweeting away, and I'm tweeting pictures, funny pictures of you while you're away.
Oh, that's just great. I can't wait to come back.
Yeah. While the cat's away.
Oh, yeah, the mouse will play. I got it. So, all right. So you can go to MarcusCouch.com. You can follow him at MarcusCouch.
Yes, and go to MembershipCouch.com and check that out, what I got going on over there.
Excellent day. So until next week, everybody have a safe, enjoyable rest of the week. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday evening. Until then, bye-bye.